This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Crystal, Jimmy Butler says he only cares about winning. He went to the Heat. So I don't even know how those two sentences marry each other.
First of all, Joy, they have two undrafted players in their starting five.
And?
They can't shoot.
You think that was the right move to leave Philly and go to Miami for him personally?
I think it's absolutely the wrong move.
Jimmy Butler, look, I'm just going to be honest. My opinion, a very selfish move for him to leave a team when you talk about the 76ers who possibly had an ability to go and win, especially in the Eastern Conference.
And then you go to Miami. Miami's not going to be better than Philadelphia.
Playoff
you game? You say they may, maybe not.
Does he make the playoffs next year?
Well, that was determined, Amy, that was a lie. No, Jimmy Butler will not make the playoffs.
Listen, Jimmy Butler's a great athlete. They play. It's
just up two All-Stars.
And then nobody else who can shoot. Who can shoot? Who can shoot? Who can shoot?
There is nobody in the Miami Heat who is significant unless they win. And Miami is not going to win.
Kind of a loser move for me, but hey. Best of luck to you, Jimmy. Ball out.
Here are Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat in.
Can book a vacation.
I believe the Miami Heat will be going home in the first round.
Crystal, Jimmy Butler says he only cares about winning. He went to the Heat.
They have two undrafted players in their starting five.
Kind of a loser move for me.
So guess what? If I have to eat my words, then he is going to have a first round exit.
And Miami is not going to win.
So when is it a welcome back? Like, I don't know. Kind of confusing to me because, you know, you hear that montage. So that was the montage when Jimmy Butler came to Miami and he was hated on. The Heat were hated on. It was back to the same thing, which is people love to hate on the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler coming to the Heat. Everyone hated on it. He's not going anywhere. And he goes to two NBA finals. And there was this feeling. Jimmy was us. We were Jimmy. And here was going to be the melding of these two strong personalities, two strong DNAs. And now Jimmy Butler is back in Miami tonight as a member of the Golden State Warriors. So I ask you, I'll ask you all, is it a welcome back for Jimmy? or is it something else? What is it? I'll ask you first, Crowder. Is it a welcome back?
For me, it's not, because you went out very emotional and softish the way you dealt with us. And
One day, maybe it'll be a welcome back. Right now, too soon. I can't tell you welcome back right now.
You kicked me in the crotch 2 months ago, and I can't just invite you in my house and have a spot of tea. No, I'm not there yet mentally. Honestly, speaking of Jimmy, I'm not there yet. LeBron went out, and I respect LeBron. Shaq went nasty, but it's too soon. To your point, I don't think it's just. I remember him standing in that corner. I forgot who they were playing when he stood in the corner the whole game. I can't vibe with you right now.
I happen to be having a spot of tea right now. Glad that you brought that up.
I can't have a spot of tea with Jimmy. 3 years from now, I might be able to have a spot of tea with Jimmy. I can't have a spot of tea with Jimmy right now.
How about a spot of big face coffee?
I can't do it yet because it's too vivid in my mind of him over there standing in the corner complaining. They had three suspensions because he didn't want to play basketball for us. I'm too much of a Heat fan. It's not pleasant right now.
Solana, is it a welcome back for Jimmy Butler III?
I played welcome back, by the way, because I didn't want to be accused of being too narrow-minded with my Heat glasses on. It's not, in my opinion. And not so much the way it ended, because I think you look at pretty much every superstar or star leaving an organization, usually it's ugly. But how Crowder's talking about him standing in the corner, then he blames his role, which we all know is BS, and essentially threw Eric Spoelstra under the bus by doing that. And then he disrespects Haywood Highsmith on the way out. I mean, of all people, Haywood Highsmith. And then you go to Golden State and you're not standing in a corner and you're Jimmy Butler that we remember. Nah, man. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Somebody texts in, you know, based on the montage that we played at the start of the show. Hey, dumbass, Stephen A. Smith was right. We didn't win anything. That's not what Stephen A. Smith was inferring. When that montage is playing and you're hearing pundits talking about loser move, they're not going anywhere, pack your bags for vacation. Had you told any of them he'd be going to two NBA finals, they'd have signed up for that in a heartbeat. If you said to any of those pundits, hey, I'll bet you he ends up taking them to two NBA finals, they'd have bet you anything they had. So, yes, he didn't win a title, but no, none of those people were right the way that they criticized the move from Jimmy Butler to the Miami Heat. What will have to be written, obviously, and decided upon as I'm watching it live on SportsCenter right now, games on TNT tonight. I mean, this is what I'm looking forward to. But what will have to be written one day and figured out one day is how much the Heat's culture and DNA, and I know it's a weird thing to talk about when you've lost 10 out of 11, but how much the Heat's culture and DNA meant to Jimmy Butler's career and winning the way that it did to LeBron. It's irrefutable, right? That LeBron needed the Heat as much as the Heat needed LeBron. And then LeBron went on and he got what he got from the Heat. And then he went on to do what he does. He's the second best player in the history of basketball. I just wonder if Jimmy Butler goes on to great success with Golden State or even somewhere else, was it because of his stay with the Heat?
I think we're very myopic with this Jimmy Butler era, where it's so recent that we talk about it, but I've used the analogy, Hawk. We're doing this show in 15 years. Your son has a son. My son has a son. Are we talking to our grandchildren about the Jimmy Butler era with Miami? We went to two finals. Okay, and got your ass whooped. I don't think the big three is about to be talked about. Wade's about to be talked about. Wade and Shaq are about to be talked about. I think that Jimmy Butler is literally going to be a bleep in Heat history Like just a, oh yeah, remember Jimmy came here? Yeah, that sounds good.
I don't disagree with that. I really don't disagree with that. You talk about almost and almost dids and could haves when you're a loser organization. When you have the history of winning that the Heat does, this will be a blip in time. I firmly believe everything that you just said is correct. I think this will be a blip in time. We will always talk about the 4 years of the big three. We'll talk about Wade and Shaq. But we won't talk about the 4 years of Jimmy Butler because I don't think it'll mean anything in the history of the Heat.
I don't agree with that at all.
No.
And I see what you're saying. You talk about teams that almost won titles when an organization doesn't have the perennial success that Miami does. But we're not talking about 1 year where they got to the NBA Finals in 2020. We're talking about a five-year sample size, three Eastern Conference Finals appearances, two NBA Finals appearances, and they were shot away from being in three NBA Finals. I think that is, you know, a long enough sequence where you're saying that was sustained success behind one player in particular.
It's hard. Sustained success isn't some, you don't talk to your kids 15 years from now and go, you know what I want to tell you? There was an era of sustained success for the Miami Heat. And I want to tell you about how they were able to sustain this success. Again, you're a loser franchise. You were going to, but not with the number of titles that they have and the stars that have walked through those doors. I don't think so.
I watched a 30 for 30 with the Jim Kelly Buffalo Bills when they were getting whooped by the Dallas Cowboys every year. The tone of that is that we couldn't get over the edge. We couldn't really win. Four Super Bowls they went to and got whooped? The whole tone wasn't that, we ran the AFC. It's that we could not beat the top dog. I don't think it's going to be prideful to say, we sustained success, Solana. Jimmy's a success sustainer. We're not going to remember the Jimmy Butler era in 10 years. It's going to be just, we tried to throw something together after the big three. Jimmy couldn't do it. Remember Tyler? Bam was a monster too. We're going to talk about it like that.
I don't know, man. When you're reflecting on Pat Riley's tenure as a president for the Miami Heat, you're going to talk about, obviously, landing Shaquille O'Neal, winning a title.
I'm not saying that he's going to disappear from history. I think you're misconstruing what Crowder's saying. I don't think that this era is going to end up being anything more than a blip in time for the Heat. A successful time, and Jimmy brought us great memories, and we'll always have him resting on the stanchion. And there were some great moments, but I don't think his era here will be talked about the way that we talk about championship eras because you just don't do that when you do have championship pedigree, which the Heat does. Ultimately, he was unable to do that here.
Wade is standing on the scorer's table screaming, "This is my house." Wade and Shaq's winning a championship. The big three is 2-4, going to four, winning two. Jimmy's is being real, real tired in the bubble of a Lakers series.
Well, I mean, you're misconstruing it. He's not real tired because he's out of shape. Like, he single-handedly put a team on his back. Like
he's exhausted during a playoff series. That's what Jimmy's known for here in 15 years.
I woke up this morning. First thing I did was look at the lines. Like, that's how excited I was for tonight's game. I wanted to see what the line was. I want to see what the player props were for tonight. We'll talk about them during the show. Will Manso is going to join us. We'll talk some Heat Warriors with him. Chris Whittingham is going to join us today. He joins us on Tuesdays. We have another pair of tickets for The Offspring with special guests Jimmy Eat World and Newfound Glory. They're bringing their supercharged tour to I Think Financial Amphitheater in West Palm in July. It's a Live Nation show. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for that every day this week, including today. There was a question in the Sun Sentinel this morning to Ira Winderman. Ask Ira. Ira, think about it. Dwayne Wade, second best player. If he wasn't the second best player, was Shaquille O'Neal or LeBron James. Jimmy Butler's second best player was maybe Goran Dragic or Bam Adebayo. When you line up the accomplishments, Jimmy did more with less. Give the man his flowers. And it's a valid point. That's the point I think Jimmy would make on the other side is, okay, I didn't give you a title, but you didn't give me Shaq. You didn't give me LeBron. You didn't give me D-Wade. You gave me Goran Dragic. You gave me Bam Adebayo. And there's always going to be, there's no answer to it, but there's always going to be that argument. Ira responded, by the way, as the Heat will and should. The fun with the above question aside, Jimmy Butler did as much for the Heat as any player over the past decade plus. It didn't end well with the divorce, but there was also quite the honeymoon period. And he's right.
Yes. And I agree with everything that the texter said, and I agree with everything that Ira said. You're right. Wade had more than Jimmy. LeBron had more than Jimmy because LeBron was the one. We all knew that. That's how they had to win when LeBron and then went to the Bahamas, rode the banana boat, and they had to tell LeBron he's the one. Yes, and his two was Wade, which is crazy to say. And then Bosh is a three. Stupid. The big three. We know what happened. No, we understand all of that. But you give flowers for people that don't succeed because you have the context of it? We laugh about context on this show all the time. I just brought up Jim Kelly. Why couldn't he have a run game? The defense should have stepped up against Dallas. Yeah, because Emmitt Smith and them boys were wearing their ass out. We could do that. Buffalo Bills right now. Is it Buffalo's fault that Josh Allen can't win? No. It's Patrick Mahomes' damn fault because he's very, very good, and Andy Reid is better than anybody Buffalo's ever hired as coach. It's sports. But the context of it, I understand, but I'm not giving Jimmy a pass or acting like it was – this was a missed opportunity. Jimmy Butler is Jimmy Butler. He's never won. I honestly feel, fellas, he's not going to win this year. I don't think Golden State's coming out the West. I don't even think they're going to the finals. And he's going to be Jimmy Butler. He's Jimmy Butler. He is a scoreboard filler, whatever, box score filler. But he's not built like that. He's not Hall of Fame talent. He's not an offensive threat consistently. I've said it. Solana gets mad at me for saying it. I'm going to keep saying it. That's not who Jimmy is.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Solana used to get mad at you for saying it when he was with the Heat. Now he agrees with you 100%.
Jimmy's very good.
Yeah.
Jimmy's not great.
Wait till Jovic gets traded one day. I can't wait to do those shows with Solana.
He was lighting up Gabe Vincent's ass after he left.
Hawk, I've always said Crowder knows ball, so I don't understand what you're talking about.
let's get headlines because we do have so much to get to today. And tonight, the game, like I said, is national TV on TNT, so there's no local broadcast. So if you want to hear a local broadcast tonight, you will hear it right here on 560 WQAM. The Miami Heat audio experience will begin at 6:15. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
The Marlins are in action, by the way, their final spring training game, because we do have Marlins opening day on Thursday. They're playing the Yankees. They're up 3-1 in the bottom of the third.
Maybe we should, because we always have Jim Larrañaga on Thursdays. Maybe we should play all our different, take me out to the ball games for him and see how quickly we can get him to hang up on the show.
Did y'all see that Norris Cole interview?
No.
When he was talking about LeBron in like game six of some series, when they end up winning the championship, and he was like, LeBron walked in that day, he had no headphones on, he wasn't laughing. They were about to get knocked out. I don't even know.
Yeah, game six in Boston in 2012. Yeah.
Game six in Boston 2012. Norris Cole tells a story. You have to go listen to it. It just came out. I saw the clip of it. And he was like, LeBron walked in, no jokes, no smiles, no conversation. He was about to win that game. And we all looked at him like, oh, okay, this is this game. That was LeBron's game. Jimmy's not that guy. Like,
nobody ever said Jimmy was LeBron. I mean, you're using LeBron as the barometer. There's not a single person in the NBA that's going to meet that barometer.
But Jimmy's not the Giannis's. Jimmy's not the Jason Tatum's. Jimmy, that's my whole point on Jimmy for years, and I kept saying it. That's what he'll never be. He has to have a Steph.
But I think that's why
we can't praise this very good number two. We're praising a good number two.
But I think that's what made the runs
a number two.
That's what made the run so special. Was that nobody was expecting that from Jimmy Butler. And then he's dropping a 40-point triple-double in the NBA Finals to stave off of elimination. And then he's knocking out Giannis Antetokounmpo in Game 4 with 56 points. And then he's terrorizing the New York Knicks in Round 2, which every Heat great must do in a playoff series. Like, that's what made the Jimmy Butler era so special. Nobody expected him to do that with Gabe Vincent and Max Strus and Duncan Robinson, but he did it.
Did Dwayne Wade overachieve?
Yeah.
No.
He couldn't have.
No.
What, Dwayne Wade?
He didn't overachieve.
First ballot Hall of Famer overachieved?
Yeah.
Overachieved?
Dwayne Wade did.
When he was drafted, you guys thought he'd be the third greatest shooting guard of all time?
No.
I'm saying,
know how talented he is. He didn't overachieve. He's one of the greatest to ever lace him up, right? Jimmy Butler. I know what you're saying. Jimmy Butler. Yeah. Well, Jimmy Butler overachieved, though. But I think to Solana's point, you're criticizing him for something that's actually making the opposite point that you're trying to make. I'm with Solana on that one.
Understand.
He's not Giannis. And so the fact that he was able to do what he did makes it all the more remarkable, which is why, if you can remember back in the moment, we were like, oh, my God, look what happened to Jimmy Butler when he got to the Miami Heat. He became Giannis, which is why Jimmy Butler, the whole thing about, you know, Tobias Harris over me, because organizations thought he was Tobias Harris. And Jimmy Butler, for a minute, looked like Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I think, again, you're criticizing him for something, but it's actually making the case the opposite way.
His success is Tobias Harris.
Stop. Crowder, come
no,
on.
No, but that was maybe a comparison that the Sixers made, and they were wrong. Like, they were very wrong. Again, he overperformed. He showed you that he was something that he thought he was. Now, was it LeBron-esque? No.
No.
But I don't think he would tell you that he's LeBron.
He's not a one. He's not a
again,
one.
He'll never be a one.
He wasn't a one. We've seen ones. We've had a number of ones.
You're arguing something that no one's disagreeing with, which makes that much more remarkable that they go to two NBA finals with a guy who's not cut out to be the one on a team.
And my point was, LeBron is not an overachiever. Wade's not an overachiever. Shaq's not an overachiever. Are the stars we love not an overachiever? He's an overachiever. Overachievers don't get praised. They're the guy. That's Rudy. He's Rudy that came off the edge and had a sack in the last game of the season.
A guy who overachieves? I mean, what more could you ask for from an athlete?
I want a player that can play and plays and win championships and achieves. I don't want an overachiever. I want an achiever. Hey, he's a monster. He's a dog. He's a one. He wins a championship. He goes and wins another because that's what he's supposed to do.
But you can't. There's
Jimmy
only there's limited numbers of
that.
Ones. There's just limited numbers of ones. You can't just go, you should be a one. Sorry, you're not a one.
He acts like a one. He talks like a one. He walks like a one.
And he took you to two NBA finals.
And couldn't finish the deal.
Okay, but still, I mean, you're splitting hairs there right at the end. I'm not certain that you're characterizing Jimmy Butler in the proper fashion because he overachieved, which is more than you can ask for when you bring someone into any organization. You want them to do better than what you even expected at the top of your expectations, which is what overachieving is. So I don't know how you can criticize someone for overachieving.
Would you love the big three if they went to four championships and won none?
Yeah, but again, you're
would you love would you would we t- look at the big three? We
that would have been but that would have been underachieving.
I'm saying like that's what I'm saying. If they did not win a championship, we would not look at the big three era like that. They went to four and they won two. And I watched the Dallas Mavericks whoop them, and who whooped them the fourth year?
San Antonio.
Yeah, San Antonio, I watched those losses. If those two in the middle weren't wins, that was a failure as a big three.
Right.
Going to four was a failure.
Correct.
Jimmy going to two is successful?
Well, he's
like,
not
I don't understand.
Big
like,
three,
you're
though. But you're holding up Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh and going, hey, Jimmy Butler couldn't do that. So he's not like, and that's absurd.
But the success is winning a championship. We would have
I'm not arguing that. I told you at the beginning of the second. Yeah. We'll look back on this era as a blip because there was no championship. But to criticize him for overachieving is bizarre.
But the ones that make – that's why I said he's not getting his jersey hung. The ones that make that in a franchise do something exemplary, exceptional, stupid good. He did okay because that's what his career is. His career is always going to be he's okay. Mm. I would love him to have you on my team. He's okay.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of franchises and fans, including me, who would go, yeah, two trips to the NBA Finals in a few years is better than, okay.
That was fun.
Oh, we got 4 hours of it.
I was about to say. I'm writing down notes now. I'm keeping my little facts.
All right, so tonight, Heat Warriors, 7:30. Duncan is questionable with lower back pain. So I guess, Hawk, you're just not going to watch this game then, right? No Duncan Robinson.
I actually looked at his over-under this morning because it was 8.5. And Duncan Robinson was always the beneficiary of Jimmy Butler's love. Jimmy Butler used to tell him, you know, shoot more. I got your back. Like, Duncan Robinson got confidence because of Jimmy. And so I thought tonight Duncan might come out there and feel confident, kind of show big brother, hey, look at what you left me, because I think they had a good relationship. So I probably would have leaned towards Duncan overs tonight, but no Duncan. Sad.
Well, he's questionable. So it's possible he plays. Right. He's questionable with lower back pains. So what kept him out of a lot of games last year as well, and he was a stiff in the first round series against the Celtics. Steph Curry's still questionable. The next injury report comes out in a few hours, so I will keep you updated. I mentioned the Marlins. They're playing the Yankees right now, final spring training game. And the only other headline I do have for you, Zach Wilson said, quote, "I still believe I can be a starter in this league whenever that opportunity comes." He said that yesterday when speaking for the first time publicly as a Miami Dolphin.
All right.
All that I just said, I looked at the Hard Rock Bet app. Jimmy Butler's over-under is 21.5. I'm putting the mortgage on over. He's going to go crazy tonight.
They've jacked up that over every game. It's been 18, 19. You are fishing on a fuzzy line there.
That's a hawk. Go get the go show him. Go show him. Steph gifted to him in that little baseline that he loves to work. Go show him, man. Show him they shouldn't let you go. And you're back home for the first time. He's scoring 22 points tonight.
He's going to get locked up. Watch. Bam Adebayo is going to lock him down. Bam.
Bam's going to lock him up.
So I'll tell you, the bet that I put in this morning, I bet Tyler Hero over 22.5. Tyler Hero, in my opinion, is the guy who feels most disrespected by the entire Jimmy Butler scenario, because Jimmy Butler, for everything that I gathered, was pretty much saying, hey, you brought me here, told me you were going to team me with some great teammates. You gave me Tyler Hero. That's the way I took it. I may have made that up. I don't know if that's Tyler Hero's attitude on it, but I looked at his over-under 22.5 tonight, and I put it in early this morning.
You're not wrong, Hawk, because there was a couple Shams Charania articles where information's being leaked that he wasn't happy that the Heat were never able to pair him with legitimate talent. And we know what that means. He wasn't happy playing with Tyler and Bam.
I think Tyler goes off tonight. That's my guess. National TV game. Tyler loves this, I think.
I'll do a parlay.
What about Andrew Wiggins playing the Warriors for the first time since getting traded? Kind of just falls by the wayside, right? In this reunion between these two teams.
And he just hit 40. He dropped 40 the other night.
Yeah, 42.
That's not bad. I mean, Wiggins over.
What about like a Eric Spoelstra prop? He's taken Team USA from Coach Kerr as well. There's a rivalry there. Are there any coaching props on the Hard Rock Bet app?
I haven't seen any coaching props. Keep an eye on it.
Wiggins is 21.5.
I'm not betting Wiggins overs, though, because I made that mistake when he first got here.
Yeah, I'm good, too, on the Wiggins.
your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. Partly cloudy. Actually, right now, man, the hell did this rain come from? It's pouring in El Portal.
I just love when the weatherman is surprised.
I mean,
Will Manso is going to join us next. We'll talk some Jimmy Butler and Heat.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This stuff is hard, and you got to stay together if you got the guts, and you don't find the first door and run out of it.
Hawk and Crowder. Big.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Night. Big night tonight at the Kaseya Center. Will Manso is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Will Manso, sports anchor, reporter, WPLG Local 10. And that television station does not need a stinking affiliate. They don't need to affiliate with anyone. They do a fine job without any programming from ABC. ABC hasn't had a good show since The Love Boat. But I digress, Crowder. I don't know if you read the news. I saw it all the way in jolly old England. Local 10, no longer the ABC affiliate. I think when? August, July, somewhere around there. Coming up soon. Anywho, but you will not see Will on FanDuel Sports Network Sun tonight either, because the game is only on TNT, as I've mentioned, but I'm sure he still has plenty of thoughts on Jimmy Butler's return. Hello, Will.
Hello, guys. What's going on? Yeah, looking forward to driving through the rain right now to get to Jimmy's return.
If it wasn't such a big night tonight, I would talk all about the affiliation ending with ABC, because that stuff fascinates me. I'm kind of a poor man's Tom Jicka and Jim Sarney, but I don't have time tonight. It's too big a game, so I can't get into that. Okay. We will right now. What do you think the crowd reaction is going to be towards Jimmy tonight? I said this to Crowder and Solana yesterday. You know, the text line at a sports radio station and Twitter is not real life. I've seen this proven time and time again. So, you know, the text line and Twitter would tell you that it's going to be, you know, public enemy number one. What do you think the reaction is going to be?
I think along the same line you do. Like, the real world is not social media, is not, you know, the web and what you see on calls and things, because those are the passionate people that are just extreme. And I get it. It's the passion of the sports fan. The general sports fan still has their Jimmy Butler jersey and still appreciates what he did and can still separate, you know, the ugliness of the end from the fun of the ride of 5.5 years. So to answer your question, I think you're going to have some boos. Absolutely. I think you're going to have a lot of cheers. And I think for the most part, it's going to be a positive reception, because I think most people know that despite all the flaws that Jimmy has, despite all the stuff that's come out since and that came out during, it was a successful 5.5 year run. Great memories, two finals appearances, and I don't think anything tonight or any kind of reception is going to take that away.
But we heard it with the LeBron, you know, ignoring Pat when he went to Vegas to talk to him and LeBron was watching a soccer game, or him and Shaq arguing and all that. Will, I don't know if we didn't see it, but I saw Jimmy Butler stand in the corner and not play basketball for us. Like, I don't know if it's visual, if it's too soon. We're talking about 2 months ago, Will. We're not talking about in the off season. Like, does the timing have more of it? Because I'll be honest, the timing has more of it for me. I said I can't. If I was at the game tonight, I wouldn't cheer for Jimmy.
And I think I can see the fan that won't. I can understand why. And I think a lot of the things you just touched on, the timing of it, it's fresh in your mind. And by the way, since the Jimmy trade, the Heat have been awful. So that doesn't help either, because then you think of, like, hey, they went into this season with the excitement of one more run with Jimmy, and pretty much he was never Jimmy. And he basically quit on them. And I don't care what he says, and I know he says he hasn't and he didn't and he was just doing his job and his role, but Jimmy pouted and quitted and cried his way to get out of here. And he got out of here. And nothing that in any situation that Jimmy's had on any NBA team has ended well. Jimmy said yesterday when he spoke to the media, like, I think it's 50-50. It's not all me. You're right, Jimmy. It's not all you, But when the situation is the same in every stop you have, it kind of is all you. You know, at some point it is, you got to look in the mirror and know that it is probably a lot you. So I think the that are going to look at that part, Channing, I think are going to be like you. They're not going to cheer. They may boo, or they just may sit there and say, I don't want to cheer on a guy who basically I feel quit on my team.
What about the actual Heat roster, Will? Because I know obviously they're not going to be out there booing Jimmy when he's introduced, but now we have a game to play. And, you know, Tyler Hero has downplayed the return. He said they're just focused on winning. Eric Spoelstra, after the win the other night, said, you know, I just want to enjoy this one. And he said he has a lot of great memories with Jimmy. But Jimmy Butler sounded indifferent about the return, pretty much put on the I don't care act. How do you think this game is going to play out? Will there be some chippiness from a Haywood Highsmith, from a Bam Adebayo? Do you expect there to be, you know, an uptick in physicality when Jimmy Butler's driving to the rim?
I don't think it'll be any different than any other game. And I don't think, I will say this, I don't think the Heat players' feelings of not being interested in this or not caring are fake. I think they really don't care. I think they've moved on from Jimmy. I think they're professionals that can separate the storyline and what happened, and that they've got to play a basketball game. And I think Jimmy falls into that category too. I think the only reason that it might impact Jimmy more, even despite him saying that it won't, is because the crowd will be involved, and Jimmy plays off the crowd and he'll hear it. And, you know, there'll be emotion there. I'm not saying in a soft, you know, way, like Jimmy's going to break down and cry. I mean, in an emotional, like, hey, these guys are against me now after they were for me, or there's some cheers there. But I think from a player perspective, like Tyler said this morning, he was asked point blank, like, are you interested in the reception of the crowd? And he said, I'm not interested. And I believe him. I don't think they really care. They'll welcome Jimmy. There'll be some dabs, some high fives. You know, Spo probably hug him after the game. And then life goes on because they have already moved on. And to Jimmy's credit, he's moved on too.
And, well, but in the league, I guess schematically, like, hell, does Steve Kerr care about Jimmy going back, like when LeBron came back the first time and all that? Do they try to make them the focal point? Will Jimmy get more touches tonight because he's in this situation, or are they just playing the Miami Heat? Like, Steve Kerr can't care about Jimmy's emotion. To your point, the emotional thing and all that, Steve Kerr's not worried about that. We're going to run the best offense we can. Or does he try to get Jimmy going a little more because he knows the emotional situation?
Let's put it this way. I don't think they're going to structure a different offense, Channing. But to your point, let's just say, right, it's 102-102 with 6 seconds left, Warriors ball. I wouldn't shock me if Steve Kerr bypasses Steph Curry and says, Jimmy, you instigate things and see if you can get a game-winning shot. Like that, in that situation, I think the moment might actually be something a coach gets involved in, you know, to give it to Jimmy. And look, Jimmy's a star player too, so it's not like you're putting it on the fifth best option's hands. But no, I don't think the structure of the game. I think, does Jimmy come out more aggressive tonight? Does he try to get his teammates involved? That's sort of Jimmy's game when he's at his best anyways, right? Like, we never saw it this year because Jimmy wasn't that player this year, not in a Heat uniform. But in a Warriors uniform, you've seen the play, or you saw with the Heat for 5.5 years. When he needs to facilitate, he does. When he needs to attack, he does. When he needs to, you know, shoot, he does. Whatever, get to the free throw line. I think that's the Jimmy you'll see tonight. I don't expect a huge difference, you know, as far as game planning for the start.
Oh, I hope you are right. I hope it's tied with 6 seconds left and Kerr gives it to Butler, because I've seen that play out a dozen times. He's going to dribble around outside the three-point arc and launch some low-percentage shot, and we're going to overtime, folks. I've seen that way too many times with the Heat.
You're not lying. You're not lying.
I hope Kerr does that. There is. You talk about Jimmy and the way that he leaves teams. There's also this weird pattern that every great Heat player seems to leave feeling, it's a lack of a better term, disrespected by the Heat, right? Yeah. Shaq left, felt disrespected. The Heat certainly felt disrespected back. Dwayne Wade certainly felt disrespected when he left. LeBron inexplicably did as well. And we know Jimmy did. What is it with the big stars when their tenure runs out with the Heat?
I will tell you this, and it's a great question because I've had this discussion many times with people with the Heat, with people outside the Heat, and just in general. Endings are hard. Endings suck, because normally endings means a player has surpassed his excellence, right, or what he was, or there's an internal issue within with that player. And every situation you just indicated has been a little bit of both, right? And I think that's the hardest thing. Like, you love to see – that's why – the Kobe's and the Dirk Nowitzki's and these guys that you hear that play their entire careers is so rare for a star player to start and finish with one organization, because there's going to be a moment where the egos get involved. And by the way, that's to the player, as we just referenced with Jimmy, but it's also to the organization. Look, sometimes the organization and the Heat are certainly one of them as well, that they want to put the organization ahead of just a player, no matter how that great that player has been, and it leads to ugliness. So I don't think it's singular to the Heat. I think it's just very hard to end. It's very hard to finish a career where everybody's happy, everybody's on top, there's smiles galore. Luckily, Dwayne came back, and we felt good about it, but even like you referenced with Dwayne, it was ugly for a couple of years.
Well, and is that, should we take pride in that, that we have a Pat Riley that will recognize it? It only other thing I can think about is the Patriots, who will cut a player when they see the they see the turn, they see the downhill turn, and you might not like it, but they're doing the best for the organization. Should we be upset with Riley or praise Riley that every player that leaves is upset with him?
I think every situation is different. I think the Dwayne one, you can absolutely be critical of Riley and the organization. They should have figured that out. They should have prioritized Dwayne, and Pat has admitted as much when they look back on it. I mean, they should have prioritized Dwayne, and that should have never happened. Now, it did, and it worked out in the end, but I think every situation is different. I think in Jimmy's case, it was a business decision based on, you know, they didn't want to sign him long-term. They thought they could get the best out of him for one more ride. They certainly weren't happy with some of the things internally going on. Jimmy obviously wasn't happy with things as well. So I think every situation is different. To your point, yeah, I think it's good that a front office can recognize that, but that doesn't mean the front office is perfect. Again, every case is different. And in most of those cases, I'll side with the Heat. Obviously, in Dwayne's case, I think it certainly could have been better, and it should have been better.
Are you sad yesterday after Cam Ward's pro day, Will? Because it was so good, man. There is zero chance your New York Giants are going to get him at the third pick.
I was hunting down Joe Shane. I was like a shadow. I was just going everywhere. Joe, go over there. Talk to Cam. Go over there. He looked incredible. I'm so happy for Cam, man. I really am. He's such a good kid, such a hard worker. And the story of where he came from, everybody knows the zero stars and all the things, and to become the first pick in the draft. I hate that he's not going to be a Giant likely, but I'm so happy for him. He put on, guys, when I tell you, the only way I describe it as, like, being there on the field watching, and obviously we've seen Cam play before in person or on video, you know, whatever, in a game. The ball comes out of his hand. It's like, you ever see a batter, like you watch a Ken Griffey Jr. or, you know, a Barry Bonds hit a ball and that sound. When Cam slings it, there is like a zip, a sound, a whistle. That just it's just different than other players. He's got such a beautiful throwing motion, such a great arm, all angles. I mean, he's going to be the first pick of the draft, and he deserves every bit of it.
We had Joe Z on yesterday, and I read him your tweet because, you know, you had listed the talent that was out there yesterday. It was the day before that you tweeted it and said it's hard to correlate how this team didn't go to an ACC championship game. And it really is. Like, it was great yesterday watching. I was watching as we were doing the show. I was watching it live on ACC Network. But, man, it was also a little bit disheartening to know all the talent they had on that team.
They did. And look, to Mario's credit, I saw Mario out there yesterday. He was so proud, you know, having all those guys out there. He's done a great job of bringing back talent. And, you know, these pro days used to be a big deal. I mean, we used to remember the early days. I mean, 15, 20 years ago, these pro days were everything. For a long stretch, these pro days have been nothing. You know what I mean? Like a few scouts show up. Last year, I think one head coach showed up. This year, they were all 32 teams represented. They were looking at Elijah Royals, an impressive kid. Jalen Rivers, I think, is going to get drafted high and have an opportunity to be a starter a long time in the NFL. Mario was like a proud dad out there, and I think he's done a great job of reinforcing that. I think addressing the defense, which was clearly the issue with a new coordinator, hopefully changes things, but the talent is getting there. But, yeah, looking at that list and even being out there yesterday, they should have played for an ACC title. They had the perfect opportunity to be in the playoff, and it's still disappointing even months later that they didn't do it.
And, Will, are you scared going back to the Giants? Are you worried? Because now, are you happy with probably getting Shedeur Sanders, but are you worried about the Browns having that second pick over the Giants? Because if you don't get Shedeur, but now you're the Jackson Dart, and I don't know who the hell else. Yeah, should they try to move up or whatever?
They got Jameis.
Of course we're going Super Bowl, Jameis. I mean, this is the frustrating part for fans, because, you know, fans, we try to do the whole tanking, and you hear it about all teams, right? But the Giants won a meaningless game against the Colts in Week 16 in which Malik Nabers was questionable. And instead of just sitting him, and saying, hey, Malik, you're a big young rookie. Go ahead. Let's sit this one out. You're questionable with an issue. He goes out there and 160 yards or whatever, two touchdowns. They beat the Colts. And because of it, they don't have the top pick in the draft. So it kills you to think that they may miss out on both top quarterbacks. Would I trade? I would trade, honestly, Channing, if you believe in a quarterback, I would trade for either of those guys. Like, if you think Shador's your guy, trade up to two. If you think Cam's your guy and you have to give up the world and you really think, because years later, if the guy turns out to be that star that leads you to a Super Bowl, the last thing you're thinking about is the trade and what you gave up. Obviously, if it fails, you do. But, yeah, the Giants need to get somebody. They can't leave this draft with Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson as their only two quarterbacks. I mean, it just can't happen.
I'm jealous, man. I wish it was Jameis down here in Miami. I said it a million times over, man. Zach Wilson, I don't get it, bro. But I'd have taken Jameis in a heartbeat. I'd have paid double for Jameis.
Yeah, there were a handful of guys. We talked about it the other day. There are a handful of guys I would take over Zach Wilson. And maybe, look, in a year we could be proven wrong. Mike McDaniel fixed Zach Wilson. He got all the talent out of him that, you know, to produce on the field as an excellent backup and maybe even spot starter if Tua gets hurt. But yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it right now, that's for sure.
Got an upset for the Heat tonight? Got the Heat tonight?
Well, it wouldn't be an upset because I think the Heat are going to win.
Be an upset because they're 5.5-point dogs. So it definitely be an upset.
I had no idea. No, look, I don't know
if you've watched lately, more. Will, but Golden State's a better NBA team than the Miami Heat is right
they
now.
Are,
I hate to say it. I'm the flagship
on paper. Yeah, they're probably on paper pretty damn best. Yeah, they're better. No, but I you know, we'll see a Steph playing. I haven't read the latest on Steph. I'm on my way to the arena now through a monsoon. So hopefully, you know, do we see Steph tonight? But I do think you'll get the best out of the Heat. Look, they've shown some signs of playing better, and it was nice to get a win. You get that, I mean, that monkey off your back. Jeez, the feeling of 10 losses in a row. I think there'll be a great energy in the crowd. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a close game down the stretch, and maybe we'll get our wish, you know, Jimmy with the ball in his hands trying to win it for Golden State.
That would be so great. Oh, and let me tell you something. If that situation happens and he drives and gets fouled and goes to the line, what we've been screaming for him to do for 5 bleeping years, I'll never watch a Golden State game as long as I live. Anyway,
he
Will Mantle.
He may be trolling us, yeah.
Local 10. We'll see you, Will. We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Anytime. We'll talk soon.
Man, I've seen Jimmy Butler end that game in that fashion. It feels like 100 times. It's probably been 3 times, but it feels like 100 times dribbling the ball out and then just launching a low percentage three. And you're always like, why don't you just drive to the basket? You're going to get fouled. All you want to do is get to the line. If he does that tonight, I will throw a brick through my television. I will throw a brick through the TV.
I've heard you today. I don't know if you're cheering for the Heat or Jimmy Butler tonight. I'm worried about your alliance right now.
I just told you I don't want to see him win the game by driving to the basket. I want to see him launch a low percentage three that doesn't go in. What are you misconstruing there?
When he dunks in the second quarter, I think you might jump up off your couch.
You bet the over.
Where did you get that from? I bet the Tyler Hero over. You bet the Jimmy Butler over. What are you misconstruing?
Y'all are arguing about Jimmy. You were just on Jimmy's side. I thought we were all going to not be on Jimmy's side. Y'all are on Jimmy's side.
You are literally the only person on this show that bet Jimmy Butler's over.
Because my money runs different. I think he's going to go crazy because he wants to prove a point.
I don't know what runs different. I don't know what runs right on you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Just y'all arguing too much about Jimmy. The hell with Jimmy. The hell with Jimmy. That's my point.
So let me get this straight. The guy you think has no offensive abilities is going over 21.5 points, and you're putting the mortgage on it.
Yeah. Because I don't think Steph's going to play, and then he's going to want to go crazy. Okay. But this is money talk.
Well, what the hell are we talking about?
I don't know.
Confused. All right, we got to take a break. We'll take a break and we'll come on back.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
We've got guts!
Hawk and Crowder.